Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Reading from Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 4, chapter 17. Maharaj Prithu becomes angry at the earth. Text number 32. Nunam
Pata
Ishasya Smihitam
Janai
Tatmaya
Dujaya
Akrita Atmavi Na Lakshite Yaha Tu Akarot Akaryat Yaha Aneka Eka Parata Cha Ishraha Nunam bhate shasya samihitam janais
Tanmayaya dujayaya
kritatmabhi Na lakshite yas tvakarod akarayad Yoneka eka partasta ishraha Nunam bhate shasya samihitam janais Tanmayaya dujayaya kritatmabhi Nalakshite yas tvakarod akarayad Yoneka eka partasya ishraha Nunam Surely Pata
Certainly
Ishasya Of the Supreme Personality of Godhead Smihitam Activities Plan Janai By people Tatmayaya
by
his potency
Dujayaya
which is unconquerable
Akrita Atmavi
who are not sufficiently experienced
Na
never
Lakshite
Asin
Yaha
He who
to
then
Akarot
created
Akarya
caused to create
Yaha
one who
Aneka
many
Ekaha
one
Parataha
by his inconceivable potencies
Cha
and
Ishraha,
controller.
Translation
and purport by His Divine Grace Srila A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Prabhupada. Yeah. My dear Lord, although you are one, by your inconceivable potencies, you have expanded yourself in many forms. Through the agency of Brahma, you have created this universe. You are therefore directly the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Those who are not sufficiently experienced cannot understand your transcendental activities because these persons are covered by your illusory energy. Translation responsively. My dear Lord, although you are one, by your inconceivable potencies, you have expanded yourself in many forms.
Through the agency of Brahma,
you have created this universe. You are therefore directly the Supreme Personality of Godhead.
Those who are
not sufficiently experienced
cannot understand your transcendental activities
because these persons are covered by your illusory energy.
Purport.
God is one, but He expands Himself in a variety of energies. The material energy, the spiritual energy, the marginal energy, and so forth. Unless one is favored and especially endowed with grace, he cannot understand how the one Supreme Personality of Godhead acts through His different energies. The living entities are also the marginal energy of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Brahma is also one of these living entities, but he is especially empowered by the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Although Brahma is supposed to be the creator of this universe, actually, the Supreme Personality of Godhead is its ultimate creator. In this verse, the word Maya is significant. Maya means energy. Lord Brahma is not the energetic, but is one of the manifestations of the Lord's marginal energy. In other words, Lord Brahma is only an instrument. Although sometimes plans appear contradictory, there is a definite plan behind all actions. One who is experienced and is favored by the Lord can understand that everything is being done according to the Lord's supreme plan. Omagyan Timirandasya Ganam Jana Shalakaya Chakshun Militam Yena Tasmai Shri Gurave Namaha Shri Chaitanya Manobhisham Stapitam Yena Bhutale Svayam Rupa Kadamayam Dadati Svapadantikam Vandeham Shri Guru Shri Yata Padakamalam Shri Gurun Vaishnavam Sja Shri Rupam Sagrajatam Sahagana Raghunatham Vitam Tam Sajivam Sarvaitam Sarvadutam Purichana Sahitam Krishna Chaitanya Devam Shri Radha Krishna Padam Sahagana Raghunatham Lalita Shri Vishakam Vitam Sja He Krishna Kuruna Sindhu Dinabandhu Jagapate Gopesha Gopika Kanta Radha Kanta Namostute Tapta Kanchana Gorangi Radhe Vrindavaneshri Vrishavanu Sute Devi Pranamami Hari Priye Panchakalpa Truvyascha Kripa Sindhu Pyevacha Patitanam Pavnebyo Vaishnavebyo Namo Namaha Jai Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadhar Shri Vasadi Gaura Bhaktivinoda Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. So the verse again. Nunam bhute shasya smihitam janais, tanmaya durjaya akrit. Such a long word. Tanmaya durjaya akrita mibhi. Nalakshite yas takarod akariyat yonek eka paratasti ishara. My dear Lord, although you are one, by your inconceivable potencies you have expanded yourself in many forms. Through the agency of Brahma, you have created this universe. You are therefore directly the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Those who are not sufficiently experienced cannot understand your transcendental activities, because these persons are covered by your illusory energy. Namo Vishnu Padaya Krishna Krishna Bhutale Srimati Bhaktivedanta Swamini Tinamne Namaste Saraswati Deva Gaura Varna Pachari Virvishesha Sinyavani Paschita Deshitas. So, Mother Earth, in the form of cows, talking to Prithu Maharaj. And she's still trying to... She doesn't want to be shot by an arrow by Prithu Maharaj. Oh, thanks, Prabhu. So, Prabhupada writes in the purport that Krishna is actually the ultimate creator of the universe.
And the Brahma is just an instrument. He's supposed to be the creator, the first living being, the creator of this universe. But he's just acting as an instrument for Krishna to create this universe. So just like someone very powerful will get someone else to do something for them because they have that power, like governments, prime ministers, presidents, etc. They're not doing everything themselves in the administration of the government. So they're at the head, but they have many, many administrators doing everything for them according to their direction and their desire. So similarly, all the demigods, Lord Brahma, Lord Shiva, everyone in the universe, are acting according to the Lord's direction as his subordinates. And sometimes we might get others to do stuff for us. The word agency here, sometimes people go to a travel agent to organize their holiday. So they're using that agency to organize for them. And so in the creation, it was described in Srimad Bhagavatam. So Lord Brahma creates the universe. Well, he was first, Gavrakshai Vishnu was lying in the ocean of in the water. So the universe is like an egg shape and half filled with water. So that all of the planets are in the top half of the universe. And lying on this ocean of water is one of the expansions of Vishnu. So we're seeing here that Krishna is one person, but he expands himself to accomplish different tasks. And so this can be very hard for people to understand. Someone was asking me, there's Vishnu and there's Rama and there's Krishna and they're all one person. And it's so confusing. So but Prabhupada tells the story about the Prime Minister of England. He was, someone wanted to meet him. So his secretary said, okay, you just wait here in the foyer, Bobby, and he'll come and see you. And so the person was waiting and waiting, and the Prime Minister still wasn't coming to see him. So he thought, okay, I'm just going to peek inside the Prime Minister's office and see what's taking so long. So he peeked inside, and the Prime Minister's grandchild was in there and having a horse ride on the Prime Minister's back. So so this was like the fatherly or playful aspect of the Prime Minister that no one would usually see that. But at the same time, he's the same person. He's the Prime Minister, the head of the country. So he has his official function, official role as the administrator of the country, but he has his sweeter feature, personality as someone's grandfather. So that it's a different relationship. So in the same way, God is one person, Krishna is one, but he has his, when there's need for creating this universe, he becomes Lord Vishnu. And when he wants to enjoy with his associates and devotees, he's Krishna in Vrindavan. So in that way, he's the same person. And we also, to some degree, can manifest different personalities or different roles. We're sometimes at the office and we're also at the office or at home. So different, personalities, and we'll have different relationships with people like that. And the This description in the Shastras, in the scriptures of the creation, you know, by our senses, by our scientific endeavor, we can't like verify, you know, that there's a massive ocean of water. So this requires faith in the scriptures that, you know, Lord Vishnu, he's lying on that ocean of water. And then the scriptures describe that a lotus flower grew from his navel. And so we have nice lotus flowers in the fish pond outside. And so they grow up out of the water, out of the mud. And similarly, the lotus flower grew all the way up to the top of the universe, and that was the birthplace of Lord Brahma. So it takes, you know, some faith to in the scriptures to accept that, and to accept that there's no way we're ever going to actually, you know, in our present condition, like verify that for ourselves, and unless we take birth again on Brahma Loka or something. But we don't want to, you know, go to the trouble of taking birth again. That's not our aim. So, of course, requires humility. That what can we really understand? Understanding the limited, very very limited nature of our senses. Like there's all this energy flying around us in the form of radio waves and X-rays and UV rays, but we can't see any of it. We can only see like the portion of the electromagnetic spectrum in the colored light, which is like, you know, distance of a few hundred nanometers or something. So it's like the red light is the longer wavelength from, and then the purple light, it's like the blue light, it's a smaller wavelength, just a few nanometers. So we can only see what is reflecting that colored light. Everything else is just, we can't see it. So that's, you know, that's just one indication of how the limited nature of our senses. So therefore we shouldn't be, and what to speak of the soul. Krishna talks about the soul being invisible and it being one 10,000th the tip of a size of hair. So therefore understanding or accepting the descriptions of the Shastra about the creation shouldn't be too hard for us if we can accept that our senses are very limited. So, Lord Brahma is only an instrument. You know, when Krishna was talking to Arjuna on the battlefield, then Krishna took his universal form, and really, Arjuna got very, very bewildered and very afraid. His relationship of friendship to Krishna transformed into one of wonder. He's like, oh my goodness, what is this? Universal form is so massive, and thousands of heads and sharp teeth, and all the soldiers are dashing to destruction like moths in a fire. So he got very bewildered, and he said to Krishna, "O Lord of Lords, so fierce a form, please tell me who you are. I offer my obeisances unto you. Please be gracious to me. You are the primal Lord. I want to know about you, for I do not know what your mission is." So Krishna has a mission, and Arjuna was inquiring, what is your mission? So that, because Lord Brahma is described, Lord Brahma as being the agent for, or the instrument for Krishna. So what is Krishna's plan? What is Krishna's desire? What is Lord Brahma being an instrument for? Like, what is he setting out to create? So Krishna said, "Kalos ni lokashai krit pravidho lokansama hatam ihapavita utepi tvam na pavishanti sarve ye vasita patanikeshu yodha." Krishna said, "Time I am, the great destroyer of the world, and I've come here to destroy all people. With the exception of the Pandavas, all the soldiers here on both sides will be slain."
So, in that instance, Krishna came to kill everyone, because he comes to annihilate the demons and protect the devotees. So only the Pandavas, he was going to save the Pandavas in the battle of Kurukshetra. And ultimately, even the devotees, or at least our material bodies, everything has to be annihilated. Krishna is not partial to when he creates the universe, and he's not partial to any particular part of the creation. Everything gets destroyed. He's not thinking, "Oh, this nice little universe with ISKCON Melbourne, how can I annihilate that universe?" Now, when the time comes for annihilation, that everything gets destroyed. So Krishna's plan for the world, we think we have our plan. We have our plan. And we think that Krishna is meant to... I think it's fine. We think that Krishna is meant to help us achieve our plan. So our plan in the material world is sense enjoyment. And, we when reversals happen, when we suffer in this world, we have disease and old age and ultimately death, and we're always frustrated in this world. No one agrees with our plan because false ego, we think we're at the center, but everyone else wants to be at the center. So we have our ideas and our plans for, basically becoming Krishna in this world and having our own little kingdom. And so when we get frustrated, then devotees say, "I don't know what is Krishna's plan for me." And "I don't know why is Krishna making me suffer." And we think we're innocent. We're just trying to, enjoy, take a little bit of Krishna's property and enjoy for ourselves. And so we don't understand, as explained here, those who are not sufficiently experienced. So when we're younger devotees, then we don't understand what is Krishna's plan. So then for that, we have to understand the purpose of the creation. That this Krishna only creates this world for the rebellious souls, the prison house. So every government will create a prison house because it knows that there's going to be citizens who break the law, go against the law, and challenge the authority of the government. And so Krishna creates the material world for that purpose. So it's not a place of enjoyment, it's actually a place of, meant to be suffering and punishment to make us see that the Lord is to again accept the authority of the Lord and accept that He's the enjoyer, that we are only His servant. And so this, as Prabhupada writes in the purport, that although sometimes plans appear contradictory, there is a definite plan behind all action. So we think plans appear contradictory when things go wrong. They contradict our idea of what should happen. I should receive so much wealth or prestige, and I should receive this and that. But actually, there is a, when all of our plans, our plans fail, then that is Krishna's plan, that we shouldn't, become the enjoyers of this world. We shouldn't become falsely
proud and puffed up. We should, you know, when Krishna puts us through misery, then that is his plan, that we should become humble and see that we're not the enjoyers, that we're only his servants. And, you know, to develop qualities like tolerance, humility, you know, patience, and respecting others, not expecting respect from others. So like this is Krishna's plan. So, you know, he's not like, so you might think that sounds very, very harsh, like Krishna is a mean God. Krishna's kind of just wants us to suffer and he's vindictive or something like that. But this is the, you know, when we don't voluntarily accept the desire of Krishna, then, you know, it said there's four ways to control someone. If you, by sweet words, you can pacify them, and by giving them some position, then they become, you know, pacified. Okay, I have some power now. So they're pacified. But if nothing works, if people are not going to accept someone's authority, then the final method is the danda, the stick. So you beat them. So that's pretty much our position, that if we don't accept Krishna's authority, and that's most people in the material world, then they Krishna gives them the stick. That there's so much suffering in this world. And so people ask the question, you know, why do bad things happen to good people, so-called good people? Who's good in this world? Because it said that even Lord Brahma, the, you know, very, he's also a criminal. Prabhupada describes that. He's trying to, although he's the most elevated in this universe, of course our Lord Brahma in this universe is actually a pure devotee. But in general, there's Lord Brahma's in every universe. So in general, Lord Brahma, he's the first living entity, but he's also a jiva. He came to this world to enjoy it. So that's why Prabhupada says that Lord Brahma is also criminal. So who is actually good? Who's a good person in this world? And so bad things have to happen to everyone to iron out our criminal mentality. And then, you know, for devotees, when we undergo this purification, then it's actually a relief that we realize, you know, I had all these plans and aspirations and dreams, but they're all just illusory, false. So if Krishna saves us, you know, through some purification, some punishment, if Krishna saves us from being an illusion, then that's good. And we feel relieved that, you know, we get the vision, what is the actual plan that Krishna has for us, you know, not to be an illusion in this world, but to actually become his servant. And that is the highest aspiration that we can have, is to become Krishna's servant. You know, when he takes away our, you know, ideas for enjoyment, then we can see that, you know, I'm just Krishna's eternal servant. Why am I falsely trying to lord it over this material energy? Then that's a great blessing. And so Prabhupada writes that one who is experienced and favoured by the Lord can understand that everything is being done according to the Lord's supreme plan. So we also see that in the life of Prabhupada himself, that he went through so many apparent reversals, that, you know, there's in Vrindavan, Prabhupada was translating his books in Vrindavan, and then he would travel, he would, you know, gather up the money to travel to Delhi to get them published, to get his books published, and take all his manuscript. And there was one time he was in Delhi, and he got, horned by a bull. Like there was just a bull in the street, because the cows wander around in India in the streets, and somehow or other he got, horned in the, I think in the thigh, by a bull. So that's like, you could see that like a great reversal. Or even his so many other instances where it seemed that Prabhupada encountered reversals. And his Bhagavad Gita manuscript, the first one that he typed up so much labor and work, the first one, it was, he lost it or it was stolen, and so he had to retype the whole Bhagavad Gita purports. But he never complained that, like, Krishna, I'm trying to be your servant, or I am your servant, and why are you putting me through so many reversals? But he understood it, so he sees that everything is according to Krishna's supreme plan. And we may or may not be able to understand it. Most likely we won't be able to understand it. But that understanding needs to be there, that it's Krishna's supreme plan. And if I'm going through suffering, then it's probably just because I'm feeling frustrated in the world. I think I have my plan, and I feel like Krishna's not serving me. Krishna's not serving my plan. But the point is that we have to understand what is Krishna's plan. And so Krishna's plan is that we just become an instrument for his mercy in whatever capacity that we're able, and whatever abilities or talents that we have, in that way, that use those energies to serve Krishna and be an instrument for informing others about Krishna. And that is the example we see with Prabhupada, that he's just an instrument for Krishna, preaching Krishna consciousness. And when we try to become an instrument for Krishna, we can't become proud, because we have to understand that Krishna, like Srila Prabhupada, he's a very, very pure and powerful instrument for Krishna. So at the moment we're trying to be an instrument, but we're practicing our sadhana and everything so that we can become a better instrument, because at the moment we're kind of like not such a good instrument. We have a lot of maybe bad qualities and lazy, or any variety of anattas in our heart. So we're not such a powerful or expert instrument as Prabhupada was. Even devotees can kind of praise and give a lot of praise to some devotees, and not understanding what is a really pure devotee. Like my Gurudev tells a story about when Prabhupada came to Boston, where my Gurudev joined ISKCON, and Prabhupada came to the airport, and my Gurudev just stayed at the temple and stayed upstairs in the Boston temple. And then Prabhupada came to the temple and went up the stairs, and he describes that at that moment the whole temple became Vaikuntha. Like seriously, who knows the meaning of Vaikuntha? What is Kunta? Kunta is anxiety. So Vaikuntha, and Vai means no. So no anxiety. So, Prabhupada, by his presence, he actually brought Vaikuntha into that temple room at that moment. And all the devotees felt it. All the devotees felt like he was, they were in Vaikuntha, and just, experiencing the spiritual atmosphere, spiritual bliss of that atmosphere. So that is a pure instrument for Krishna. And, so that is our duty to serve Prabhupada and try to become more like that. That, you know, by our preaching and by our purity, we can have more of an effect on people. He's also describing how when Prabhupada was like just at the airport, even non-devotees would just see Prabhupada and cry. And they kind of like point at Prabhupada and say that, oh, you know, he's glowing. He's just so effulgent. And he's like this spiritual personality. So this is the pure instrument for Krishna. So, we should always keep that in mind, that we're just an instrument, not even for Krishna, but just for Prabhupada, that he's the real instrument for Krishna. And so we're distributing his literatures, and whenever we talk to people, like I sometimes people ask us questions, etc. Whatever we tell to people about Krishna, we just learnt it from Prabhupada. We don't know much ourselves, but we just learnt it from Prabhupada's books. All his examples and the examples that he gave us from, which themselves come from the Acharyas, and the whole understanding of Krishna consciousness, the whole philosophy, we just tell people as we heard it from Prabhupada. And that's enough. Like I was hearing someone say about, in book distribution, like Vijay Prabhu, who's the minister for book distribution in ISKCON, and he's not very like fancy in his presentation of books, but he's so effective because he's so pure. He just kind of calls people over, and it's like some mystic potency where he just looks at someone and calls them over, and they kind of froze on the spot and come over to him. And then he just shows them, like, this is a picture about we're not the body and we're changing bodies, etc. And they're just so affected by that interaction with Vijay Guru that they want to take the book. So it's not a complicated, like, you have to come up with so many ways to distribute books, but just by our if we're more pure, then we'll have effect. And it's like our whole, if we're practicing all the time thinking about Krishna and being Krishna conscious, then of course that's going to just come across to people in our interactions. So like this, that we kind of have to, this verse is basically explaining how we have to understand what is Krishna's plan and understand how, actually probably, just at least consider that maybe my plans for this life are just, most of them are born of illusory mental speculation anyway. So see that if we can instead change our plans to align ourselves with Krishna's plan to distribute Krishna's mercy or Srila Prabhupada's mercy. As Lord Chaitanya said, Yarade Katari Kaha Krishna Upadesh Amagya Guru Hai Adesh. I think that's right. So whoever we meet, that we just tell them about Krishna, and may not be directly if they're going to be offensive, but we might give them prasadam and let them hear the holy names, and try to, whoever we meet, it's not that we give the same message to everyone, because we have to become expert enough to see what is this person's level of consciousness, spiritual consciousness or material consciousness, and what are they going to be up to understand, and kind of like tailor our message to them. And in that way, everyone gets Krishna according to their capacity and what they can understand. So I know I'm not a very good instrument. I was like thinking, oh my God, what am I going to say today? And Prabhupada's very merciful. He just allows us to keep practicing and keep practicing and keep seeing the deities and coming to the temple. And when we're seeing the deities, it's like seeing the spiritual world, seeing the effulgence and the beauty. So in this way, gradual purification music can become better instruments for Prabhupada and Krishna. So I'll just stop there, see if anyone has any comments or questions about today's verse. All satisfied? Okay, so...
No.
Sorry. I know,
I like this point of the highest aspiration is to be a servant of Krishna. It looks like we have so many aspirations. Maybe this is one of them, but it doesn't seem like it's a priority. It's for us, it's not the highest. So, how can we make it a first priority in our lives to aspire to become a servant of Krishna?
Okay, so the question is, as I'm mentioning that the highest aspiration we can have is to become a servant of Krishna. So Prabhu's asking, we have a lot of aspirations, and how can we make that aspiration the highest one for us in our life, to become a servant of Krishna? And it's true that, I guess I was explaining that we do have a lot of aspirations, a lot of other plans for ourselves, and even one devotee was describing to me the other day how, she used to have so many plans and this and that when she was a younger devotee, and gradually they all kind of just fell away, and become servant of Krishna. So, I guess it just happens if we're sincere, and Krishna kind of like takes those plans away for us and kind of gives mercy. And it's like, I was thinking the other day, it's like kind of like taking off a bandage or taking off a band-aid. We're so attached to the world and so attached to our plans and so on. Like Krishna's kind of like pulls off that band-aid a little bit at a time. if he sees that we're attached, but we want to be a devotee, even though we're attached to the material world. So Krishna's very kind and takes away. That's the meaning of Hari, takes away our illusory ideas, and and on our part, Krishna will take them away. But on our part, just through studying Prabhupada's books, understanding that they're just illusory ideas about becoming important in this world, becoming the center in this world, becoming any of the opulences that Krishna has, that we want them, wealth, beauty, as Queen Kunti describes, Jamaishvara Shutishvivi. We want a good birth, we want beauty, wealth. But all these things prevent us from actually chanting the holy name with feeling. Any of the opulences, Krishna has six opulences. If we aspire to have any of these opulences, or we're attached to, we all have some kind of opulence because we're all parts of Krishna, but if we're attached to that and attached to our material bodies, then we can't progress, and so we have to, use our intelligence to see that Krishna is the owner of everything, and we can never become you know, significant. We're always going to be just a tiny soul, and whatever plans we make, they're all going to be washed away anyway. Like death comes for everyone. And you know, we've been trying to become something in this world for lifetimes, like, and all the time our Krishna just smashes our plans by through the material energy. We face repeated birth and death, but still we're so in illusion that we keep trying. We're so foolish. We keep trying to become something or someone. So you know, better to just to become, accept our position that we are Krishna's servant. We're just a tiny Krishna servant, and that is glorious. That is, it's not like you know becoming Krishna servant is the most significant thing we can do, most significant position, like that. So yeah, we need to study Prabhupada's books, because we've been trying to become something for lifetimes, and if we don't get the proper understanding, we'll keep trying, even in devotional service, we'll keep trying to become, you know, prominent, important, even in the devotee community. So we have to give that up, and just become humble, and you know, otherwise we just keep taking birth, even in devotee families, and trying to be someone, and rather than being humble and just being a servant of Krishna. Like that's yeah, you know, someone, we can do some just very small service, and Krishna loves it. Krishna accepts whatever tiny service. Actually, I was so astonished the other day. Like there was this little devotee, practically a baby. Her mum said she was like two and a half years old or something, and she was taking her service so seriously. Like she was helping her mum making a garland, mm-hmm. and like not just there's the big garlands, and there's the garlands that the Chota deities wear with the rose petals. So they're like, you've got to fold up the rose petal and then put the needle through it. And one time a devotee told me that these garlands, they can take like an hour to make, because they're very intricate. You've got to fold the petals. But this like 2-year old was doing that service, and she was very serious about it. She was like, and then she picks up this huge like needle. And I'm like, wow, what is she doing with that needle? She's like, but she actually knew what she was doing. She's like, somehow she, just from watching her mum, she'd kind of learn. And, you know, kind of like fold it. And sometimes she wouldn't fold it very well, but sometimes she would. And she'd like stick this massive needle through the rose petal. And she was just completely absorbed in that service, very, very serious about making that, you know, garland. And so I was just shocked, and like this is the potency of devotional service, that even a small child can do devotional service very seriously and get the same benefit as like an adult. And so that mood has to be there, that whatever our service is, that we do it with full sincerity and wanting to please Krishna. And then, you know, anyone can become, any devotee can become our guru. We can learn from any devotee how to do devotional service. I hope that's okay. Anything else? Thank you very much. Grantrai Srimad Bhagavatam Ki. Srila Prabhupada Ki.